Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Ian Safar, Foghorn Rex Road with us on the program this morning. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Talking Titans and Jets, NFL Week 1, and people still reacting to Rex Road's performance in the rant. Keep those coming. We head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson to the program from NFLBlueBook.com. Charles, good morning. How are you?
Oh, did I miss a classic rant?
You're going to have to go back, man. You're going to have to go back. He basically just did 10 consecutive minutes in a Cajun accent, so you're going to want to find that.
Oh, my God. What? Isn't that fireable? I don't think you're allowed to do Cajun accents.
No. I don't know that it was. I think it was more like it really was just Foghorn Leghorn.
It kind of was.
It's sort of a combination of a lot of things. So
that's
it was epic.
Playing to your audience, Foghorn Leghorn. I mean, that has to be. When was the last time we saw Foghorn Leghorn in a new performance? 20 plus years.
Well, it's time for a reboot, I think, you know? I mean, those Warner Brothers cartoons aren't problematic at all.
Not at all.
He debuted in 1946. Yeah. So that's good.
Sounds about right.
We got real Rex Road to talk about. How about that?
Was just a young pup in 1946.
That's right.
Let's not wander into that territory.
Oh, man. Well, what did you think of the opening game last night? Drake May, 3 costly turnovers. Just a wild performance in the second half there. Sam Darnold goes down, A.J. Brown goes down, and yet Seattle still finds a way.
I swear to God, like, this is – there are only so many times where, like, you see games and you're like, these prove – you can spend all the time you want. You can go out. You can talk to all the people you want. You can go into practices and watch practices. And there are only so many games that prove, like, the NFL is totally unpredictable. So when I went through Patriots practice, right, we're talking August. It's like mid-August. I go through. I'm hearing great things. Like, oh, you know, Drake May looks great. Like, the offense – the evolution's there. Will Campbell's, you know, he's bounced back, he's healthy, all these different things. So we go into practice, and again, this is like mid-August. And Romeo Doubs looks like a monster. Like, I'm watching him in practice. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, he must have caught, I don't know, 3-4 balls in practice where I'm like, this is amazing. Like, this is what an acquisition. This guy as a number two receiver is just going to be absolutely unbelievable for the Patriots. I'm talking to, you know, people in the organization afterward. I'm like, wow, like, what amazing pickup for you guys. Looks great. AJ Brown in the practice again, looked fantastic. You know, put a couple moves on where I thought, man, looks healthy. Wow. This really is all coming together. They spent the off season. They put the pieces together, and then I watched this game, and Romeo Doubs, the first interception, like, granted, Drake May, you throw it into double coverage, not a perfect ball. Romeo Doubs, you know, it gets tipped up in the air. Nehemiah Pritchett picks it off for Seattle, and you think, okay, you know, not great. But then again, in the fourth quarter, I think it was 2nd-14, Doubs, a ball right in his hands, first down, the kind of catch where you're thinking, okay, they're moving toward winning this game, and just flat out drops it. Like, stone hands. Like, that was vintage senior Charles Robinson at center. Like, stone hands can't catch a pass in basketball, like, the worst thing ever. And you're thinking, like, what is going on? Like, how is this guy underperforming to this level, being Romeo Doubs? And then Drake May, just in that fourth quarter, like putting passes, like bad decisions, the whole game when you went into it, you're like, all right, well, who does it mean more for? A win for Seattle versus a win versus the Patriots. The Patriots had to show growth. Drake May had to show growth coming out of the Super Bowl. I think he did the opposite. The three interceptions, the last interception, I don't even understand how when you're in field goal range, there's not a conversation where you don't put the ball up in the end zone to Matt Collins. I mean, at that point, is completely putting the game in jeopardy and causing the loss. I mean, we can get into the injuries and all the other things, but from a decision-making standpoint, the growth you wanted to see out of Drake May, it certainly did not show in this game. And frankly, once we understand the full totality of the injuries between AJ Brown and Sam Darnold in this game, we could feel different, you know, moving forward. But this is a one game snapshot. Like I don't think the Patriots could have been more disappointed than what they thought they were going to get out of the growth in game one from Drake May from a decision-making standpoint. And then what actually unfolded.
Well, speaking of, you know, what's at stake in a game, huge one coming up Sunday in Nashville, Charles. I mean, I don't know what, I haven't even seen what the TV crew is, but it's like, you have to go, might have to go to the WB college crew for this one. But you and I talked a little bit about this yesterday, and certainly if you look at it strictly from the head coaches, I mean, Aaron Glenn after the last year with his owner, like it's a hot, I mean, the seat will get hot real fast for him. So there's a difference between him and Saleh. But let me put it to you in terms of the fan bases, both long-suffering fan bases. I think both sides are like, well, you sure as heck have to beat the Titans. You sure as heck have to beat the Jets, right? In this game, we have been framing it like, you know, the negativity about this team will just be out of control if they can't beat the Jets at home with Geno Smith, you know, back at his point in his career and all these things. So first of all, how do you look at it in terms of what's more at stake, you know, beyond the head coaches, but then also just how do you see the game?
Okay. Well, look, you mentioned the fact that you and I talked about this right prior to the show. We spent some time talking about this and I ruminated on it a bit and it's going to be disappointing to Titans fans, but I'll just straight up ask you, like, how has Robert Saleh, how has he reached what feels like a must win game before his first game?
Well, my quick answer to you is that he was 20-36. People are wondering if he's a good coach. They know he's a good coordinator, but he's playing a crap team. I mean, it's just the circumstance of having this bad, even worse franchise than you, worse owner than yours, et cetera, coming into your stadium. It's just wherever this game was on the schedule, this is one that you have to say, okay, you got to win that.
Yeah, I get it.
Right?
From the standpoint of playing the Jets. But again, and I'll get into the whole Jets thing, but there's not a game yet. Like we're already to this point where it's the disappointment. It's kind of wild to me because the preseason for the Titans has played out where, again, there's media members like fighting with each other, you know, publicly in social media spaces, Cam Ward's and, you know, reasonably so getting killed for the preseason performance where we spend all this time talking about, you know, how much does preseason really matter? We don't really know until we're, you know, through the first couple of games. And I just feel like there's already developed this significant amount of negativity around the Titans. And I'm kind of like, you know, what have we done yet? We haven't even played the first game yet. We haven't even really had a chance for the coaching staff, which there was a moment in the off season where people were very, you know, positive about the additions and where this was going. Like the whole playbooks have not been opened yet. So I get it, but it's the fact that, and I don't know if it's because of the fact that, again, that there's these things that have happened in the media where people are, you know, talking about what questions need to be asked and they're arguing with each other and playing off of different things. But I mean, like it's wild to get there before we even won game into the Robert Saleh you know, history with the Titans. But I'll say this about the Jets. You know, what's more meaningful in terms of win or loss against the Jets? We talked about this yesterday. I took it serious yesterday, but the more I thought about it, I'm like, really, realistically, and I don't mean to take the air out of, you know, what we're doing here today, but we should not base everything, you know, about whether Robert Saleh can be a good coach based on a one game experience, right? And I told you yesterday, and I still believe it, I think Aaron Glenn, the head coach of the Jets, really has more at stake here, because, you know, the negativity that was surrounding his team last year with the Jets, the lack of progress defensively, you know, you don't intercept a single pass in a season, which is just, I mean, largely unprecedented. The, you know, questions at quarterback. I mean, I don't think I asked you yesterday, Joe, and I'll repeat it here. Do we really believe whose job is on the line this season? Do we think Robert Saleh's job is on the line with the Titans? I wouldn't think so.
No.
Yesterday, I do think Aaron Glenn, you know, is he cannot have another season like he had last year. And ultimately survive it. So if
I agree with that.
One game thing, then that's really where I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately for Saleh, he comes into a situation that a lot of, obviously most things not his doing, that have snowballed in terms of negativity over, you know, the last few years. So it's just, but right. I guess that's what happens with a lot of coaches that come into bad franchises and trying to turn them around.
I agree with that, but like, are we okay? So I will ask you, we're starting the season out here. What are your realistic expectations? And I think you and I and Robbie, we talked about this before, you know, what are the realistic expectations about Robert Saleh over just the Titans? Like, what's a growth? Are people willing to accept what a growth season would look like for the Titans? If the Titans go 6-11, does Robert Saleh, like, is that it? Is he now on the hot seat going into 2027?
No, that's fine, like, as long as it includes a win over the Jets. Yeah, as long as it includes a win over the Jets, then that's fine.
Why? But okay, but let me ask you this. And I don't want
to get, you can't lose to the Jets, dude. You can't lose to the Jets. I don't care.
Okay, I don't want to get an argument. I hate doing this reductive thing where we get in an argument over one game and like it, then it just sounds like we're just, you know, we're doing it just for the bluster. But realistically, in the larger perspective of what's going on here, why does he absolutely have to beat the Jets for Titans fans to go, okay, we're fine with Robert Saleh? Like, we got to beat the Jets. If we don't beat the Jets, then Robert Saleh, going into week two, we're off it. We're off. Like, realistically, let's just be real here.
I think it's less of
a game. Why are we at a referendum one game in?
I think it's less about him. I just think the fan base, this is something that Saleh has really nothing to do with. I think the fan base is so beaten down that if they come out there and they lose to the Jets in week one, people are just going to throw their hands up. They're going to be like, oh God, here we go again. And particularly, Charles, if they lose to the Jets in week one and Cam Ward's not any good, I mean, our show on Monday is just going to be an absolute firing squad.
We're not just talking about Saleh here. We're talking about years, certainly, and we're talking about the number one overall pick. Yeah.
And I get all that.
We had a bad year.
You know what? Nobody, can you agree with me here? If they get to mid-October, I know it sounds like forever in an NFL season, and I'm sure for Titans fans it sounds like forever, but if they get to mid-October and Cam Ward is in the right direction, will anybody care? Honestly, will anybody care? I know it's the immediacy of like what's happening right now. And even last night, so late last night, I'm writing a notebook and I'm like, okay, let me at least throw some thoughts in about the Patriots Seahawks game. And in my mind, I'm like, is this really representative of what I think these teams are? Like, do I really believe Drake May is a 3 interception per game player? Or do I think he's, a young developing quarterback who's had a bad game against a team that maybe is probably a little bit in his head, lost in the Super Bowl, a lot of pressure in this game, and he's still got to figure out how to get around that corner? Or do I think Drake May is okay? He's just he's a turnover prone, bad quarterback who's, this is what he's going to ultimately be. We've had this talk before on the show, and I know it probably drives people nuts because I'm always early on. I'm trying to keep people from falling into that hole right away. But I do think it's a little absurd, and I know it's going to drive Titans fans nuts. I do think it's a little absurd to go, well, what Robert Saleh, what the Titans look like against the Jets is now that's what they are. Or are we really looking at this season as, I know nobody wants seasons of growth. No one wants seasons of turning a franchise around. But they do still exist in the NFL. Like, it's not just a thing where you can walk in, throw a bunch of players on defense, hey, the defense should be better, bring in an offensive coordinator who's had success turning around an extremely inaccurate quarterback in the past, and say, we should be able to do that. And week one, when we walk out there, that should all just be accomplished. Like, I sound like a corporate guy here, but I've covered the league for so long that it's frustrating to, and I've had this conversation with you. I think Robbie, I probably had this conversation with you too. I wanted Dan Campbell fired however many, I mean, it was like 15 games into his,
oh yeah,
this tenure with the Lions, maybe 20 games in the tenure of the Lions. I didn't understand why he wasn't fired. And I just think doing this long enough, if you truly believe in your coaching staff, you just have to relax and not make one game the totality of a season. And I get it. He's got to beat the Jets. The Jets are terrible. I understand all that. It's his former team. It's his former owner who hated him, like all this stuff. But I'm going to try to be the voice of reason here. And if we get to week two and they're blown out, people can kill me. That's fine. You guys can kill me.
No, that's all
but
fair.
I'm trying to be reasonable here and not turn everything into, you know, a one-game situation. And also, by the way, like I said, not treat the preseason like everything I see was absolutely perfect. Because if it was, Romeo Dobbs would have had 9 catches. He would have been, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba last night. I mean, he would have had the time I was in Patriots camp, he would have been unbelievable. Instead, he was arguably one of the worst wide receivers on the field last night. So it's, you know, I will always beg people, let us get to mid-October before we start making these judgments and really fully feeling that, you know, we're in or out on a team as a fan base.
All right, so with all that being said, I think all that's fair. I am looking at Geno Smith as the quarterback of the Jets, who threw like 17 picks last year, and I'm wondering, like, what does he have left in the tank? What version of Geno Smith are the Jets going to get this year, and how equipped are the Titans to take advantage of that maybe on Sunday?
Here's the only thing I can say about Geno. It's hard to measure what his 2025 looked like because – Chip Kelly and, you know, Pete Carroll were at war in with the Raiders, right? Like go back. It's documented. I'm not breaking any news here. Chip Kelly, the offensive coordinator, was not, you know, Pete Carroll hire, you know, for the Raiders. And so you're kind of like, when you look back at it, you're like, okay, well, what can we really realistically weigh and measure from that experience and ultimately take away from it? You know, I don't know. I don't personally, you know, I went through Jets camp. I could tell you walking out of there, I thought they don't have the 2027 quarterback on the roster. I don't think Geno Smith's the answer here. I think he's a bridge quarterback. So in my mind, if the Titans defense is going to be the revamped unit that we believe it could be, right, from the preseason and from the talent additions and, you know, the coaches that are in place to get this done, they should be able to take advantage of Geno Smith. If you want to ask me, like, would I be troubled if Geno Smith comes out and throws, like, you know, four touchdowns, 300 yards on the Titans defense? Yeah, I'd absolutely. Yeah. That would be problematic to me. There's no doubt. I don't know that Geno Smith still has that left in him consistently as a starter. So just from going through Jets camp, I can tell you he did not strike me as a long-term answer there. He struck me as the 2026 answer to get to the 2026 quarterback class. Like, the Jets feel to me like they're one of those teams. Like, we're just trying to get to that class to ultimately replace him with what you feel like is going to be the cornerstone.
Whereas the Titans have the number one overall pick playing quarterback, so a game like this should be a win for the Titans instead of the Jets. But anyway,
I read on, you know, in social media, like, either we should be bashing them or not bashing them after a week of not doing anything, if we want to talk about certain people who orbit the Titans. Like, I don't know. I will say this for Cam Ward. The one thing he said to me, and this will be on him, and he should be measured on this. He made a point recently in the kerfuffle that has happened with the media about what they've used in the playbook, in his own terminology, right? Like, that he clearly indicated, we're not using everything there. You know, we had a certain level that we would use in the preseason. We pared it down. Like, we're not, it made me feel like I'm listening to Cam Ward and I'm thinking, okay, he's saying we're not using everything. So don't judge me until we're using everything. Well, you know what? This game, you should be able to open it up and you're going to use reasonably exponentially more than what we would have seen in the preseason. So I don't have a problem judging Cam Ward. And now that we're getting into the regular season and how, you know, has he progressed? We're going to find out. But I still believe, frankly, I don't want to do it on one game. I don't want to do it on two games. I'd like to give it, you know, at least a quarter of the season before we're really like, has he made the progress that ultimately we believe he can make? And if he hasn't, then all those questions that are getting asked by some people in the media that are, you know, some people finger pointed or we're arguing about whether they're fair or not. I mean, they're certainly going to become fair in October if there's not some progress.
So Aaron Donald not playing tonight, which is disappointing. I wanted to see that. But is that an Australia thing, Charles, or is there actually like more ramp up with him?
What's going on? I think the Australia thing makes sense realistically. Like, it's just the time frame for him coming in, the travel. The Rams went into this whole issue with the travel to Australia, figuring, you know, like, how are any of our players really going to react to this? I think they thought, and Aaron Donald thought, there's no way this turnaround for me early in the season. And the Rams thought, there's no way for Aaron this turnaround with the ramp up process. Makes sense. There are going to be potentially long-term ramifications for everybody else on our roster who's not had a couple years off of football. So why would we put Aaron Donald through this? I do question, and I told you this, I'm curious to see if he plays in the September 21 game against the New York Giants. I know it's a Monday night game. It's hard for me to believe he would pass up on playing in week two and having his sort of reemergence or whatever is his revival in LA be anything beyond a Monday. I mean, a Monday night game is perfect for Aaron Donald, right? Like, it feels perfect to me. But I will tell you, when I went through, the two things that became extremely clear to me was, like, number one, Aaron Donald, and this was before he was signed, it was he's not coming back until he feels right. He doesn't want to get out there and have a game, like even a first game, where he feels like people look at him and go, oh, that's a diminished guy. That's not what we used to see. And then conversely, though, I do think there's a feeling on the LA Rams staff that, hey, you know, even if he's at 80, 90%, that's a lot better than most defensive tackles in this league. They may feel that way. Aaron Donald does not feel that way. So I it's interesting to me is I think there's this kind of dynamic where you have a coaching staff that's like, okay, like, how we'd love to get him out there. Like, we want him to be feeling good and everything, but we do want him back out on the field. Like, this is what we're bringing him back in the fold for, and this is what he's back here for. But I also think Aaron Donald has his own design, and I'll just say straight up, like, it was said to me in training camp when I went through the Rams, there was a possibility, like, Donald could miss the first few games of the season until he feels like he's completely right. And, you know, listening to Sean McVay now, it was, I and Joe and you and I were talking about this yesterday. Someone brought up the fact that Aaron Donald said he kind of felt rusty on 11 on 11s. And, you know, Sean McVay was like, you didn't look rusty to me. And I'm like, well, that's the kind of interesting situation we have here, is you have a player who wants to come back perfect and a coaching staff that surely wants to get him back on the field as soon as possible, even if it's under a pitch count, which it will definitely be under a pitch count. I think there's, I think the push pull will get interesting. If he does not come back in week two, the push pull will start to get interesting in the staff, between the coaching staff and Aaron Donald.
It looks like the last time I could find a Foghorn Leghorn being in a picture of any kind was 1997, Charles.
The fact that you looked
But he's like, in the new movie now, though. Someone texted that they got this new movie with the Roadrunner, right? I guess okay. He's in it. So
he's making a comeback.
Bringing it back, baby. Bringing it back.
It's 20 years of this. Man, if I could just go back to that 20-year, that 1997 Charles body. We can all,
we're approaching 30 years. Yeah.
The ladies at Michigan State loved it.
Yeah, they're probably 30 years. See, I can't even do the math.
Lord. Yeah, it's about 30, dude.
Wow. 30 years. I mean, we could have some conversations about 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Let's not.
Joe, well, Charles,
Joe, we probably shouldn't wander into that territory either.
Yes, I'll leave that alone.
Joe's face immediately was like, nope, we're not going to do that. That's good. Mm-hmm. Just leave it there. Charles, we've made it to week one. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today, and we will talk to you in the aftermath of the biggest game of the NFL season on Sunday, right, between the it Titans and the Jets.
Everybody, take a breath. Take a breath. Hopefully there will be a week one victory for the Titans that we can talk about next week. But just
if not, I look forward to you telling everybody to calm down again. That should be great.
That'll be good.
Yeah. Absolutely. That'll be great. Mm-hmm. You just make sure you gather all the fan comments, all the caller. I'm sure it will be nothing but grace and kindness.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm sure that's exactly how it'll go. Thank you, Charles.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
Charles Robinson from NFL Blue Book, our guest here on the program. Check out his work at NFLBlueBook.com. We'll react to what Charles had to say. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Vanderbilt hosting Delaware this Saturday at First Bank Stadium at Vanderbilt. Pregame beginning at 1:30 on 102.5 The Game. Kickoff at 3:15. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Ponce Law and Gary Force Acura. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Today, the Nashville Sounds take on the Durham Bulls. First pitch at 5:45. You can catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Social Cantina. Catch the Metro High School football game of the week every Friday at 7 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Tomorrow night's game will feature Maplewood taking on Hillsboro. Before and after the game, Big Joe and Connor Newt will have complete high school football coverage with the game Blitz, powered by Southeast Financial Credit Union. Appreciate Charles Robinson for being with us in the last couple of segments, Joe. Look, Charles is saying, hey, people are so worried about this Jets game, you know? Whether they win, whether they lose, there's still a long story to tell in the NFL season, which technically, Joe, he's right about. I don't know if Titans fans are going to react that way if they lose on Monday, but he's right about it.
Yeah, well, of course. And so the 20,000-foot NFL view is, yeah, it's the first game. But, yeah, I think this is where – and it yeah, if we're going to isolate it to the coaches, of course I agree. I mean, Aaron Glenn loses this game, and in New York, they start talking about, like, how far into the season does he get fired? Right. I mean, that's seriously what they start talking about. So even though – you know, we talked about this story yesterday, the Athletic story by Zach Rosenblatt about Woody Johnson and trying to, like, delegate more, let people do their thing, and let Aaron Glenn have some runway. But if they lose to the Titans, it'll be It'll be all over him. And yeah, Robert Saleh, I don't see Robert Saleh being on a hot seat in year one. And it happens in extreme cases in this league, but you know, I doubt that. But it's, again, it's bigger than Saleh. It's just the reaction. And I mean, like, so much on the text line is like, yeah, I'm giving up if they lose. I'm Kyle in Shelbyville. Tell Charles we checked out last year and came, and then Cam's preseason has us looking for reasons to check out this year already, like losing to the freaking Jets. That's it. And the preseason is part of it. And Cam. And so the Cam performance is massive part of the whole thing.
Yes.
It is possible for him to perform well and for them to lose. And that definitely is a better outcome in terms of fans not checking out. Kyle also says, we're not Browns fans where our love is unconditional. And yeah, I mean, maybe that's a little bit of a how many generations of fandom your team has. Although, even though technically this isn't the Browns.
Yeah, they're not that much older than the Titans.
But you know? I think for, yeah, it's like the Cleveland Browns. They are the Cleveland Browns. They, you know, so they like, it's like a, it's still a generational thing where you love that team called the Cleveland Browns, even though they then went to Baltimore. And Ozzie Newsome helped build championships, and you got none of them. So
yeah,
that kind of sucks.
Good stuff. Really worked out well for the city of Cleveland.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Art Modell.
Oh, man. Let's head to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Dustin to the program. Dustin, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I'm just wondering, does Charles work for the Titans?
I don't believe so.
Man, maybe he should. I think he's got a job lined up. Man, are you not watching the same circus we are, buddy? And I'll keep it clean. I can do that.
Please.
So, here's the deal. They say don't worry about the preseason and all this. You can't judge it. But, man, I can judge a quarterback not progressing his footwork, carrying loaves of bread and getting stripped. I can see that the coach says, I'm going to play all these guys, and he gets asked a hard question, and he said, nope, not playing them now. I don't want y'all talking about my quarterback for 2 weeks. I can see him listening to either media or fans or both and coming to defend him and saying, which you have to defend him, he's your savior. Like, what are you going to do? Say, I don't know, this kid may not make it. We get that. Shut up and do your job, Saleh. We don't care. We want action. This has been turmoil.
We haven't played a game yet.
What
are you watching? Like, what action do you want? Like, there's no game yet. They haven't played.
Yes, they have. They played preseason. I don't care. Anybody
yeah, which does not count. It doesn't count on your record. So they're 0-0. They haven't played.
When the media tells me not to, you know what I do after stripping Jarrett Stillman? I check a list. Charles Robinson off the list, not taking any consideration what he says anymore. This,
okay.
What they did, I'm checking it all off. The media, is after this week, has gotten a little soft on the whole team. I'm sorry.
They haven't played a game yet. What do you want them to do?
The first
game of the season is coming up on Sunday.
Over half of us are up in arms about his play during preseason, and then they set him, and then they restrict credentials. This is drama.
Well, that's fine. I'm just saying they haven't played yet.
Yeah, and we went from it's a must-win game on, well, we don't have to, because we know there's a dang good chance we're going to get beat by one of the worst football teams in the league.
I'm not saying that there's not a good chance they won't get beat. I'm just saying they have not played a game yet. So, like, all this drama that you're talking about, nothing that matters yet in the regular season has happened. Thank you, Dustin. So, like, I think, listen, I'm as concerned as anybody else about Cam Ward. We've talked about it 1,000 times in the preseason, right? But there is some truth to, can we get to a game that actually counts before we just totally fly off the handle? Like, they, you know, what happens if they win Sunday and he plays well and they're 1-0? Do you think we're going to, like, have a ton of Titans fans calling in on Monday being like, hey, guys, he sucked in the preseason, so don't get too excited. Like, I, you know, it's just, it's the regular season is the information that matters.
Yeah, thank goodness we're about to get it. But, yeah, I think people are poised to, and that is part of this. So, like, I think people are poised to lose their bleep. Like, they're ready, you know. And that's why we've been talking all week about how unique this situation is. just given all the things, including the history and the coaches and the owners and just the fact that this schedule, based on what we think of this Titans team, which I think will be better, but still, we got them winning 5 or 6 games. This is one of the few on the schedule you circle and say, yep, got to have that one. It just happens to be the first one. So it's just, that's why it is, to me, so important to just cool everything and show people some kind of progress. But like you said, I mean, this is, we haven't actually seen the entire product, like including, you know, like Simmons and John Franklin Myers. That should be maybe the best part of the team. Haven't seen it yet, you know? So I'm glad that we get to see it very soon.
Same. Monday is going to be amazing either way, though.
Yes, it will be.
Woo! Can't wait. I'm sure Charles will be excited, too, if the Jets win. That'll be good.
Yeah, I think if that's the case, we'll just say, Charles, explain yourself.
Come on.
That'll be the whole segment.
615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, the game. This Saturday's college football game of the week, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, is Oklahoma taking on Michigan at 11 o'clock on 94.9 The Fan. Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Check out the pregame show on Sunday. Stop by John Bon Jovi's before the game and pregame with 102.5 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, stunning skyline views, including 2 epic rooftops. Pregame show brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Old National Bank, Richmar Florist, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the Jets at 615-737-1025. Joe, we've talked about Tate today, which I think immediately led back into a discussion of Cam Ward. Look, there's no doubt there's pressure on Cam Ward heading into this game. I think everybody recognizes that. All I'm saying is, before we just totally give up, can we watch him play in a regular season game? That'd be nice.
I think that would be fair. Now, before I give more response, am I too loud right now?
No.
How about now?
I think you're good.
Am I holding the mic too close to my face? Is the mic too close?
Are you being criticized?
Well, someone is Twitter says, can someone at 102.5 The Game tell at Joe Rexer to back away from the mic a couple inches? Bro sounds like he's talking through the headset at a Wendy's drive-thru. Is that the Baconator, the Baconator Plus? Sorry, I didn't think I was holding it too close. Ian, am I sounding like too, like, you know, today?
I mean, overall, on my end, levels look pretty even. Look okay. If you want to turn it down, you know, a half notch, see how it goes, that's cool.
What about when he was Foghorn Rex Road?
Well, it's hard to tell how much of that was the voice and how much of that was the mic. But overall, I think it sounded just fine.
I hope that a lot of that was distorted and unlistenable.
I think it came through loud and clear.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's, man, it's a lot of factors. Like, I don't blame anybody really for feeling the way they do. There's just a lot of factors that go into that year. You know, it's some things that are years in the making here. So it's just, and then the preseason didn't give a lot of confidence. It has its limitations, massive limitations. Like Charles was talking about, you know, Dobbs, right? You know, Dobbs, oh my goodness. And then come out and play again. And again, he's got another 16 games. I'm sure he'll be fine.
He'll have some good games.
Yeah. You know, but, and Drake May, by the way, will probably be fine and have a good year. And so you have to remember that everybody has stinkers. The problem for Cam Ward is, I mean, Drake May last year had an MVP season in the NFL and has kind of established himself as, okay, this is a guy. This is a, you know.
It got to the Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, and so you now have earned the leeway to have a stinker or two, a bad decision or two, whereas obviously with Cam Ward, it's just the stakes are really high every time out until he establishes some level of consistency, of consistently higher level of play.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think – look, Kuharski said it well in his piece. Like, you know, there's differing – when you look back through Titans history, there are differing levels of impact that some of these high-pick quarterbacks have had early on. And the bottom line is, outside of McNair, who was drafted before they even became the Titans, none of them had really worked out, right? Like, Vince was offensive rookie of the year. And you thought, I mean, if you'd asked Titans fans after Vince's rookie year, there's no doubt. I mean, it's unanimous that he was going to be the guy, right?
Yeah.
And
it didn't work out. Oh,
yeah. So, like, it's just, you know, there are differing paths to get to this point. But I think Kuharsky said it well. Like, it's time, as game number 18 of his career is coming up and year number two, we need to move from seeing some occasional flashes to consistently being pretty good. And is he ever going to get to great? I don't know. But the next step is you need to consistently be pretty good. And if you can't get there throughout the course of this year, then we got a problem.
Yeah. And then how much of a problem? You know, you look back on Will Levis's big season of opportunity. Obviously, some of the just unbelievable mistakes were killer for him. Some good games, more bad than good, and it was kind of not much question that they were moving on. But that's also the difference between a guy taken at the top of the second round and a guy taken with the first overall pick. So if that were the case and it just isn't good enough, first of all, some people are always going to try to find excuses, and there may be excuses. There may be a legit excuse. I mean, you know, hopefully he gets protection this year. And the receiving core is as improved as we think, and they run the ball and all that stuff. But I mean, I still think that it's likely he's going to start in 2027, barring just complete disaster. But you think about the discourse around him now, you know, think about it then opening the new stadium, if it's like him kind of wobbling in like last chance to prove yourself, because that's what it could be.
You want a bold prediction?
Yeah.
San Francisco wins tonight.
Okay.
Ready for that?
I don't think that's crazy. And like you said earlier, I mean, they did probably the smarter thing with more acclimation. I can't believe that Shanahan and McVay had like different philosophies on anything, but yeah. No, I don't think that's crazy.
I mean, the Rams will still win the division and they'll be the number one seed in the NFC, but the Niners are winning this game tonight. I've had that feeling all day. It's happening.
I kind of want the Rams to, well, whatever. I mean, it'd be amazing if also they were like so disappointing. Right. But I kind of like the idea of the Rams trying to push for that Dolphins record. Either way, I feel like they're going to blow it in the playoffs, but yeah, if they lose this, then you can put that to bed. I want to read this real quick from Gino, bringing up even though it's unfair to Saleh, but after taking credentials away, unfair or not, he's going to be held accountable like the previous head coaches and GMs trying to pump sunshine to the fan base. If we lose, it's going to be irrational reactions mixed with legit questions. And yeah, like that thing, not that you can directly just trace it to him making the decision, but it doesn't help. It doesn't help the overall discontent, I think, with this fan base. It's a bad move.
Just beat the Jets, you know?
That's right.
Just beat the Jets. That's what it all comes back to. Going to be fun tonight. San Francisco and L.A. coming up. We got our Friday show tomorrow. We'll have the first edition of Pigskin Pick'em for the season coming up tomorrow as well, so looking forward to that. And then a big weekend of college football and NFL regular season week one. So enjoy the football tonight. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. in the morning. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.